This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
If you think you suffered enough in hour two, or hour one, excuse me, the A block, just wait, there's more. However, we're all here around the table right now. We got Kat Carlson, Marty Meyer, Doug Wilkie rounds it out. I'm Clayton McKee.
Hello.
Oh, please listen back to hour one. It's stimulating radio, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you that. But coming up in this hour, of course, we've got our headlines. A little bit later in the C block, we're going to do the Wheel of the Week that Kat Carlson is feverishly putting together now, where various topics we just bring up and talk about. We're going to do a little bit of entertainment. I think Doug's going to take care of that.
A little bit.
And sure. Before the show's over, you never know, Marnie might adopt another dog.
Wow.
We'll see what happens with that.
Who can say?
Oh, by the way, Al is on assignment in a beautiful island somewhere in the Caribbean, but we'll talk about that more in 2 weeks.
On assignment.
Uh-huh. That's what, well, I don't know what else you'd call it. I couldn't get a goddamn audio recording out of any of them.
Takes more vacations than Jacob Tryweiler is what it is.
No shit. And I'm surprised Jacob's not on this trip with him.
And he's first alternate to Al Perkins, so if Jacob's on the trips that Al doesn't go on.
By the way, if you're friends with Al on the Facebooks, go to his Facebook, look at the pictures. Mm-hmm. You can see where he is. We're not going to show those pictures.
Well, no, we're not.
So for 2 weeks until he's back.
And I have something to say about it, too. About went to Australia, now this. It's exhausting having to like all those pictures on Facebook.
And it's exhausting having to try to like live vicariously through
it. I really need him to like stay home.
Because
I'm exhausted to like...
I can't click on another picture of yours.
I have carpal tunnel.
It's a lot.
That's funny stuff.
I just can't.
That's funny, funny stuff.
Thank you, Clayton.
All right, kids. Well, it may be difficult to live with any member of a family. However, depending on who they are, the mother-in-law often gets the short end of the stick and the most discussion. They're typically looking out for the best interest of their child, but they may not do so in a way that is easy to live with. One mother learned that there is a difference between an overbearing in-law and a psychotic one. The mother talked about her situation in a popular online advice column. She said that her mother-in-law, and I want you all can chime in on this because I have a feeling somebody somewhere has got a story that goes along. She said that her mother-in-law talked her son, the mother-in-law's son, into changing the name of their newborn child, and she didn't learn about the name change of her newborn son for 2 months. Her post that she posted on the online chat or the advice column reads as follows. My son is 2 months old and I've just discovered that my husband spelled our son's middle name as Finlay, F-I-N-L-A-Y, instead of Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y. On all of his legal documentation is where this is. I, of course, am furious because I told him I was fine with the middle name. But it had to be spelled L-E-Y, and he agreed to this before the son was born. His mother even sent a Christmas gift to their house with the middle name spelled L-A-Y on the card. And she says, when I made a comment to my husband, he didn't even have the decency to tell me then that the name had been spelled differently. He just let me keep believing for 2 months that our son's middle name was spelled L-E-Y when it's legally not. I discovered this all when I went looking for his social security card and birth certificate so as to file them away. He says he regretted it as soon as the card came and he has been afraid to tell me since. Now here's where this whole story gets a little tricky. Apparently his mother-in-law guilt-tripped him into doing this while the mother who had just given birth was asleep after her emergency C-section. Keep in mind, she lives a few states away, so all of this was done on the phone. She guilt-tripped her son into changing the spelling of this name over the phone. She tried to convince him to give our son a first name that I hated, saying that I would get mad, but I would get over it. That's what the mother-in-law said. Change his first name, she'll get over it. My husband thought changing the first name was too much, but apparently gave in to spelling the middle name the way that his mother wanted it. She thinks that Finlay, L-A-Y, is more masculine than L-E-Y. That was her fight over this. My husband is very much also at fault for doing this in the first place, and we are working through that together. But I feel as though something needs to be said to my mother-in-law. Do I approach her about this? Do I let my husband approach her about this? Do we do it together? What should I say? I have no desire to have any sort of relationship with her moving forward, so I am not worried about playing nice. I will be legally changing my son's name to the correct spelling in the near future.
Absolutely.
So, how shitty is that?
That's some pretty low shit.
Yeah, that's not okay. Not okay at all.
So I figured,
why aren't we mad at him?
Oh, no, we are.
Right.
Oh, good.
No, absolutely.
We are.
Crazy mother-in-law, okay, probably lifelong mom's boy.
But him going along with it.
We should be 100% mad at him, not her.
Yeah.
He didn't stand up.
Yeah.
That is 100%.
Well, I think you can still be mad at her because she's not respecting the wishes of her son and daughter-in-law. No. Like,
but it's his job to set that boundary.
I agree with you.
She's still a bitch.
But still, she should have stepped.
And that's fine.
That's
she steps off.
I agree with you. But
who cares?
Still a bitch. Yeah.
Like,
I do. I don't want to complain. I want to complain about her.
Here's the thing. I respect the philosophy of you don't know what you can get until you ask for it.
Jenny and the children, white people problems.
That's 100% white people problems.
That is so true, Jenny.
But
that's good.
Since there are four white people sitting at this table,
yes,
we're going to talk about it.
Fair point.
I 100% believe you never know what you can get until you ask for it, right? Ask for the fucking moon. You want to change the kid's name? Great. Ask for it.
Yeah.
It's his job, 100% his job to set that boundary.
Agreed. I do agree with you.
Like, his mom can ask for anything in the fucking world. His mom can ask for whatever crazy thing that she wants. It's his job to say no, mom.
That's fair.
No. We're not going to do that.
Still think she's a cunt.
Yeah. Her motivation was still horrible.
He's a pansy. She's a cunt.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, when I read this story today, I was thinking, though, I feel like...
I got right to the point.
And my mom can correct me or remind me.
There you go, man.
I feel like... Because my first... No, I did get both sides. I'm sorry. I'm incorrect. My first name is from her great uncle, who was named Clayton Christian. Her father was named Christian after him. I was named Clayton. Right. But Alan, my middle name comes from my father's father. So I have two grandfather's names. Mm-hmm. All right, never mind. I was confused. Actually, I was actually confused on my own name earlier today. You're welcome.
I'm glad we sorted
out. We should have some more champagne.
Well done.
Oh, I was stone cold sober. This was like at 2 this afternoon, reading this story, going, huh, I think my name was... I don't remember. Mom, was there an argument at all from anybody in regards to naming me? Because I kind of figured that Marie was probably trying to get something done that she liked. Just
I'm still uncomfortable with shifting any of the blame from this man to his mother.
Like, okay.
Why do we keep shifting blame away from stupid guys?
He ultimately made the decision. I'm just saying she should have had the respect and just kept her fucking nose out of all of it.
Maybe true.
I'm saying, so she's just at fault for doing that.
There's a lot of blame.
Our language is all way madder at her than at him. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I'm not.
You're okay with which part?
Being mad at her. She's a bitch. I don't like her.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to.
No, I get that. So mom, there was no issue. Mom chose my name. That's what it was. Fuck everybody else. Thank you, mom.
Would you like to hear a funny name story about my name?
Well, why not, Doug? We've got nothing but time.
Well, Kat wants to do her story too.
I don't care.
But she will figure out how to parlay into her story.
So I'm a junior, and. Because the people in the hospital bullied my mother, because this isn't true. And they told her, you have to name that kid before you leave. And
it's not true.
It isn't true. And they bullied her. And she was like, okay, so we'll just do junior and then, you know, whatever. So my middle name, on my dad's side of the family, they gave last names as middle names, not first names.
Sure.
So my last name is Deeks.
Okay.
I mean, my middle name. Sorry. Yeah, Douglas Deeks Wilkie Jr. So I'm named after my dad.
All of a sudden you were Doug Deeks.
So it's not Marie.
It is now.
Douglas Marie.
No, it is Douglas Marie now.
Humoring me the whole time.
Invalid.
So, obviously named after my dad, my grandfather named him. So when my grandparents got married, they made a rule my grandfather would name the boys and my grandmother would name the girls. And he was white and she was Hispanic. So she said, I'm going to give them Mexican names. And he's like, I'm going to give them white names. And then they had four boys. So she got screwed on that deal. So
four times.
So
at least.
So,
okay,
so where does the Deeks come from? My grandfather, Blanton Taylor, his best friend in the world for his whole life was named Douglas Deeks. And he said, I'm going to name one of my sons. And he did. So that's great. My whole life, I had an interesting, unique name. And my grandmother did this weird thing in the last, like, 5 years of her life. She just started telling us things that, you know, we never knew. Like, just things she had held on to. And, you know.
Shit.
And I was like, oh, my God. And I said, you know, we were talking about names. And she said, do you like being a junior? I said, actually, it's been a big, huge headache throughout my whole life. By the way, listeners, all 10,000 of you. do not do the junior thing. It's a legal nightmare. It's been a whole, that's been a difficult thing.
Al Perkins is the same thing.
Awful. So anyway, so I said, but in general, I really like the name. I said, I love the history, and it was like really kind of gushing at this family reunion. I'm like, I, you know, I like the history. I like that I was named for my grandfather's best friend and whatever. And my grandmother was just wasn't saying anything. And I was like, well, you know, what do you think about this? And she's like, you know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I hate that name. She said, I hated it when your grandfather gave it to your dad. And she was like, and I just wanted to like crawl in a hole and die when your mother did it and replicated it again. Oh. And I was like, why? And she was like, well, because for a good 30 years, Douglas Deeks, he was trying to get me into bed that whole time. The best friend was trying to screw my grandmother. So, that whole, and she had to like fend him off and was like, but never said anything. Cause she was, I was like, why didn't you say something? She's like, because my husband would have killed him. And so she was like, I didn't like him. And so I had to have a son named after him. And then grandson. Yeah.
So the name never goes away from her.
Till the day she died.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, wow. My God, I know. For real.
I know. And she dropped bombs like that at the end. It was interesting.
Anybody else have any name stories at all? I mean,
mine came out of a book.
Okay.
What's your middle
name,
Catherine?
Mine is the movie.
I never tell anyone.
Oh, okay. Is it Marie?
That's really Marie. A fucked up name. Catherine, I never tell anyone.
That's all. That's
Carl.
Right.
Catherine, go fuck yourself, Carl. Well,
that gets the point right. It gets the point right across.
That is a big monogram, ladies and gentlemen. I want to see that on a towel.
I love that. I'm after an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, right. That I recalled.
Yep.
Tippi Hedren.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren. Well, and that was the blessing
it's a great
of
movie
it all.
Too.
The fucking blessing of it all. Because my parents thought Tippi Hedren was gorgeous. Mm. And that's why they went for that. Nothing worked
have
out
that
way.
Have you seen the movie?
But you know what I'm saying. Hell no. No,
you
have
it?
It's an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
It's
I don't
so
wanna,
good.
I'm sure.
It's a really good movie.
I can believe it. It's just, it's a little, you know, it's Alfred Hitchcock. But thank Jesus that they named me Marnie and not Tippi.
In the movie,
you know,
she's a kleptomaniac.
Because that was honestly,
you've
they
used
were.
That joke
they were,
before and it's still
so,
funny.
It's so true.
It's still funny.
They were like, we're either going to name her Marnie or funny. Tippi. And this is a reduction, folks. So.
Yeah. One or two
fuck.
Times. One or two times.
One time. Just the once.
Just the one deer?
Just the one deer.
Did it help?
Yeah, they used to be a lot.
I mean, is it seriously? Like, oh, does it feel better?
I mean, 100%. Yeah.
A friend of my mom said a reduction.
80%.
This is a reduction, too. But it went wrong. Go right ahead.
This is actually an increase.
Year over year? I don't know what we're doing here.
Just added padding all the time.
Year to date? No, just overall. All right.
Just overall.
Right.
No.
Oh, sure.
Well.
I'm having some here.
It could have been murder.
No!
Was it murder?
An engineer in Berkeley, California is accused of trying to kill a colleague by poisoning her food and water with a toxic substance multiple times since 2017.
Oh. Well.
He's been slowly trying to kill this woman.
That can't be good.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds awful.
David Zhu, 34, was arrested on a warrant Thursday, according to jail records. He's facing charges of premeditated attempted murder and felony poisoning. Mm. According to court records obtained by Berkeley Side, which I assume is a publication, a fellow engineer at Berkeley Engineering and Research had noticed a strange taste or smell from her water and food that she said she left unattended in her office.
Succinylcholazine.
Yes.
All you have to do is watch Forensic Files. Swear to God, it's succinylcholazine.
Police
I like wake up and yell that sometimes.
Wrote that she experienced, quote, immediate and significant health problems after consuming the food and the water.
Can't be good.
And sought emergency care at the hospital. Two of the victim's relatives, who drank from her water bottle in November and December, also got sick.
Dun, dun, dun.
Police said that surveillance footage from the victim's office showed Zhu adding a substance to her water bottle on February 11th. And March 4th. Water samples taken from the bottle on those dates showed a toxic amount of cadmium, according to investigators. I know. Nerdiest story ever. I'm doing the best I can.
I do appreciate it.
Blood samples from the victim and her relative also revealed
cadmium?
Elevated levels. You guessed it.
Cadmium.
Oh, that's
my
right.
God.
Cadmium, if you don't know, is a metal that is primarily used in batteries. According to the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, that's a thing.
Wait, cadmium or cadmium?
I think it's cadmium.
Oh, cadmium, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, when you said batteries, I'm like, it's a
I think it's misspelled the first time.
Cadmium. All right, go ahead.
It's European.
They spell it the French way, though.
If it's in a battery, it's electrifying.
You said the Chinese guy's name right.
Fuck.
Was it Kim? Come on,
no,
that's easy.
Shu. Oh.
That's true. She got that one right.
I know I did.
Good job.
Because I worked really hard at this.
Good job, Kat.
You did not. You've got it all.
Well.
I like that idea.
Go.
God damn it. Ingesting food or water with high cadmium levels. Mm-hmm. Quote, severely irritates the stomach, leading to vomiting and diarrhea, and sometimes death.
Oh, sometimes. Okay, so I see.
No guarantees.
Court records said that Zhu also poisoned his colleague on November 29th,
did
December
you?
13th.
Oh,
and
oh,
as far you? Back, nope.
Did you or did you not?
And as far back as October 9th. Police have not said what may have motivated the poisonings.
I probably hated her.
Perhaps she was a loud chewer. Zhu remains in custody at the Berkeley jail and is being held without bail. He was set to be arraigned Tuesday morning.
My God. Maybe she was a loud chewer. that's good.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed that.
Marty.
Oh.
Who's Denise?
Well, we're going to find out.
You were at my wedding, Denise.
I need a drink.
Well.
Who the fuck is Denise?
Denise! Denise, Denise is.
Probably not. Okay. Thank you, though.
Denise is Denise McAllister.
Oh. I don't know her.
Familiar?
I'm not.
Probably not.
Is it Claire's daughter?
No, it's not.
Oh, McCaskill, not McAllister.
Correct. It was totally separate.
She,
Megan
Kevin's
McKay,
cousin?
So no.
Wasn't
no,
Home Alone
no,
the
no.
McAllisters?
It was the McAllisters. No. That's very good. But no. Could be, actually. I do not know. Oh, yeah, that was fictional. Meghan McCain is not one to shy away from defending herself and her fellow ladies in The View when someone tries to comment.
Mm-hmm.
As a little bit of background, I have certainly... I watch The View all the time now. Like, I had gotten away from it, and then I got back into it.
It's good again.
It is to me. Like, no. it's that's my 1 hour of the news that I'll really pay attention to.
I left because, when Rosie left and never went back.
Yeah, and I left when Rosie was there because it got to be too much. Like, she was a little too much, and now she's really
I
on
like
my
her,
shit list.
I like her brand of crazy. No, yeah, I mean,
but
I
she's
too.
On my shit list
oh,
or something
I'm
else
a big
now.
Fan of crazy.
I follow her on Twitter.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like her.
Yeah,
I've
she,
always
just,
liked
she
her.
Made a comment that irritates the fuck out of me, but that's a
Which
whole
comment?
Other kind of thing. Digress. So, anyway...
Was it about dogs?
I feel like we're going to do an hour
nope,
on that
wasn't.
At some point.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So, on Tuesday, March 26th, Denise McAllister tweeted out a comment on an article about McCain and her coworkers about their show and asking, can someone please explain to me the purpose of The View? She went on to call the women delusional mental midgets ricocheting ignorance. Now, that made me laugh.
That's good
I do,
writing
I
right
do
there.
Like that.
That
I,
really is.
Can we hire her to write our jokes?
I fucking laughed at that.
That is
time.
Funny.
But, like, it became a meme. This, you were at my wedding, Denise, became, like, this huge meme. Because,
obviously,
can someone
shirt.
Explain to me the purpose of The View? It seems to be a roundtable of delusional mental midgets ricocheting ignorance and lack of emotion, regulation, etc. And she goes on and on. It's from ilovemyfreedom.org. And... Meghan McCain, after seeing this tweet, swiftly replied to the comments with a now infamous tweet saying, "You were at my wedding, Denise," to remind her of their shared history. And that's all she didn't say anything
I
else.
Love
it
that.
Was just like, "Shut up, bitch." Mm. I mean, yeah. Like,
it's a really good comeback.
It
but
really
you
is.
Were
like,
at my wedding.
I'm not saying
that's
anything
all.
Else yeah. to you, but you were at my wedding.
It adds
Denise.
Some perspective.
Yeah. Huh. Like, why are mm-hmm. you acting like, you know, you don't know me? McAllister tried to clarify her comments with a follow-up tweet saying she didn't mean for the comments to be directed exclusively to McCain, but The View itself, saying, "I don't even know how you do it daily, and my hat is off to you for standing strong in the midst of crazy," which I can understand. It didn't matter that McAllister followed up because the internet was already so captured by McCain's defense, it inspired a whole new hashtag and trend that has taken Twitter by storm. Even McCain loved how the internet has been inspired by the catchphrase and has encouraged others to use it for themselves. She's even posted posed it as a possible Real Housewives tagline. So if she's ever on there, you were at my wedding, Denise. Can be everyone's clap back to everyone, she says. Everywhere, forever. My gift to the internet. Thank you for the support.
I love it.
And I couldn't. So when I heard her, like I was watching the show when like I saw this thing come out here. And then Megan just like, shut up, because I follow her on Twitter. She's like, you're my wedding, Denise. And I burst out laughing. And then it became a thing. And I'm like, fuck that, because I was going to call you and say, we need you to make a shirt.
Yes.
And then
somebody
like,
did.
Well, but then I'm like, oh, well, I can get it here tomorrow. So I just, you know, you
probably
were talking
faster
about,
than me. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about how much shit you had.
Very busy.
When I saw you. So I was like, whatever.
Didn't Meghan McCain cleaning get in wings. A fight with Joey Behar today?
She may have. She gets in a fight with her all the time.
Joey Behar said she was stupid or something like that. They were arguing about whether Meghan McCain was stupid or not. We all know the answer to
that. I have not.
Yes.
Well, see, and you know what? I'm somewhat changing my tune in some weird way.
Oh, I love that. I love that, but she's kind of stupid.
But not. For me, any like just
so you watch her more than
with
I do.
Watching a little bit more, I'm becoming.
Are we losing you, Marnie?
No.
Are you going to the other side, Marnie?
I am not. No, not even a little bit. But
Marnie Ryan,
I
Republican
like how
hero.
she's just facts.
Yeah,
like she doesn't.
That's something.
She
new,
absolutely the like the emotion. That's why this was funny to me, because it was just she gets totally annoyed, just rolls her eyes. You're my wedding, Denise. Like.
It's priceless.
And she just gets annoyed with anything that isn't like, shut up with this. What are the facts of a story? And then she just moves on. And that, so I do. I like that about her at this point. And she's not a Trumpian by any means, and really never has been. Mm-hmm. But now especially because of Trump coming out more so against John, and that dipshit things he keeps saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she's like, yeah, I'm not a fan. You know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are things about her that I do like, but this was just priceless to me. This was just one of,
very
one
funny.
Of my wedding Denise.
So where do you get a shirt online and you get it the next day?
Amazon.
So that, when was this phrase made?
On the 26th
just
of March.
Oh, a month ago.
No, like a week.
Oh,
like
a week. No, a week. I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad. I figured we're just in the second day of April.
Yeah.
Number two.
Okay. Wow. That got done and done quick, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. It was like the next day, whatever. It was already on there.
Wow.
Somebody. That's where I get most of my, like, if I hear something that just makes me chuckle, I just, bloop, and I look it up and it just fucking cracks me up when it's there. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Wow. All right.
Well, mine's not funny, but interesting.
We can make it funny.
Well, maybe we will.
You wait.
Chicago has a new mayor.
Oh, I love this.
And they ran in a runoff. It's good. They ran in a runoff, and they have elected Lori Lightfoot, makes history as the first black female openly lesbian mayor of Chicago.
Hey.
Not too shabby, right?
Thanks, doing good.
Wait, was it last week? Was it Rahm Emanuel the mayor?
No. Well, they said, let me see if it says here.
When did this happen?
Just now, tonight. Mm-hmm.
But I thought last week, because in the press conference about Jesse Smollett, wasn't... Mm-hmm. I thought Rahm Emanuel was the...
He's the mayor?
Was he the...
Well, this was a runoff, so I don't know. I guess he was.
Maybe
up until the run, until the, she, well, she ran against another woman. she won by a landslide with more than 73% of the vote. Lightfoot, a former federal prosecutor who was initially considered a long shot, capitalized on an apparent desire by Chicago voters to elect an outsider rather than someone who had come to be seen as part of the Chicago political establishment. Today you made more than history. Lightfoot told supporters at her campaign rally, you created a movement for change. Lightfoot says that one of her first orders of business will be to mend fences with the woman she ran against, whose last name is Preckwinkle.
Oh. Atta girl.
See, there's some humor in here, right? Whom she will have to collaborate with. I know she and I will work together for the city we both love. It was an often bitter and contentious runoff campaign, despite the similar profiles of the two candidates. Both referred to themselves as independent progressives and voiced support for increased police accountability and elected school board and progressive forms of revenue. But the two regularly lobbed insults at one another during candidate forums and debates, with Lightfoot branding Preckwinkle an insider and part of the political machine. Preckwinkle, meanwhile, dismissed Lightfoot as a corporate lawyer who didn't have the necessary experience. Lightfoot's campaign began nearly a year ago before Rahm Emanuel announced he would not seek re-election.
Okay,
there we go. I don't read the stories before I do them, just so you
none
know.
Of us do.
None of us do.
Okay, good. The mood came.
And yes, he's still currently listed as the mayor until she gets sworn.
Came amid a breakdown of the professional relationship between Emanuel and Lightfoot, in which Emanuel, like former Mayor Richard M. Daley before him, called on Lightfoot on multiple occasions to clean up various messes in the city government.
Clean up this mess.
She did. So her profile rose, though, in the wake of the Laquan McDonald murder in 2014 and subsequent battle over the release of dash cam video that became the key piece of evidence to convict, which is extremely rare. Police officer Jason Van Dyke of second degree murder. Emanuel named Lightfoot to chair a new police accountability task force to help stem the outrage over McDonald. And it goes on and on. I think we can stop there.
I think we're good.
I just think it's cool. Mm-hmm. And Chicago has got a history of corruption and probably still does, but
I saw the headline of that today, but didn't realize headline. What that was.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing that to the show. That's cool. Anant, this is for you.
Looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me.
If you're in the chat room, you'll understand why I did that.
And to answer your question, why I don't venture into the coffee mug business, it's simply a matter of equipment. Like, yep. As soon as I buy the equipment, I'm in.
Oh, so...
Sure. I can print on anything.
If you'd like to subscribe to her Kickstarter program, you can fund her if you would like to.
I'll give you my email address. You can just PayPal it.
Absolutely.
Molly, you in danger,
girl. Instant transfer. Molly, you're in danger. Well, a man in Hawaii has been ordered not to drink his favorite soft drink during...
What?
4 years of probation on a car theft conviction. Judge Rhonda Liu imposed the restriction last week while sentencing 21-year-old Christopher, this is a tough one, Monteliano Jr., the Maui News reported this information last Saturday. Monteliano lied to police when he was arrested with the car in Maui last June. Liu said in court, Monteliano told officers that his cousin had allowed him to drive the car and that he was on his way to buy soft drinks. Now, the judge issued the order for him not to drink Pepsi for 4 years after he told her it was his favorite soft drink.
Cue the commercial for Pepsi that's a Braveheart knockoff that says, they may take our lives, yes. but they'll never take our yes. Pepsi. It's happening.
Never seen that movie either.
What the fuck is wrong with these people? Can't work in these conditions.
Quoting,
that was fucking hilarious.
Quoting the judge, she says, it's the Pepsi deprivation syndrome. Monteliano spent 7 days in jail following his arrest. During that time, he learned the importance of complying with the law, defense attorney Josh James said in court. Quote, I'm not going to steal cars anymore, Monteliano told the judge. I don't want to be in jail anymore. Liu also sentenced Monteliano to 100 hours of community service and a $100 fine. $100 can buy a lot of Pepsi. Mm-hmm. Okr. He had pleaded no contest to charges of unauthorized control of a propelled vehicle and driving without a license. Now, what I was curious about, and I don't know if it says it anywhere else on the interwebs about this, did she just ban him from the Pepsi? Can he drink Coke? Can he drink Diet Pepsi?
Does he want to?
Perhaps a Mountain Dew. Pepsi,
when they get it's the one thing they want.
No, right? I get that, but yeah. I mean, still, like, there's like Pepsi One. Mm-hmm. Does that count?
Oh, sure.
Oh, Pepsi got, products.
Uh-huh. Right. I know she's so. Oh, she's trying to get us copyright infringed.
Yeah.
Got it, ladies and gentlemen. Kat Carlson with her story.
I like it.
That was the end. All right.
Oh, and Nant, by the way, the perfume counter phrase is from a Joan Crawford movie.
Oh, my God. The Women.
The Women. That's what it is.
From 1939.
Joan Crawford, The
Google
Women.
Google it. It's a great movie, too.
And you can find the scene on YouTube.
Yeah, go on YouTube. You can just get the click. It's everywhere.
Do it after the show's over. Don't do it now.
No, not now.
Do it later.
Don't get crazy.
Do it live.
Do it live later. Kat, go.
Later.
Do it live.
Wow. I believe leggings are our future.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
I hope not. I think I know where this is going.
Wear them
actually.
Well and let them lead
and let them lead the way. When did leggings make the leap from garment to cultural lightning rod?
Not yoga pants.
For what are essentially they're the same thing. Stretchy, footless tights in a seemingly endless array of patterns and colors.
Tights.
You can get them in any color.
You sure can.
Any pattern.
That's true.
And you could probably get Pepsi leggings.
Oh,
probably true.
I'm gonna look up right now.
It could happen.
Please do.
Yes, please do. They have
become an unexpected source of controversy. The latest uproar came last week when Marianne White, the mother of four sons, wrote a letter to the Observer.
This is so great.
The school newspaper for both the University of Notre Dame and the nearby women's college, St. Mary's, asking female students to ignore fashion, stop wearing leggings for their own as well as the greater good. In part, because leggings made it hard for men to control themselves.
Oh.
The fuck. So the you wear it, you're asking for it implication of the letter, not to mention the sheer idea of censoring clothing, set off the predictable firestorm of protest, both on campus and off. For 2 days, students wore leggings in a show of group defiance. There was a hashtag LeggingsDayND hashtag on Twitter, and assorted men and women posted pictures of themselves in solidarity with leggings wearers. A woman wrote a letter to female students asking them to stop wearing leggings because the sight of leggings made it, quote, difficult for young guys to ignore women's bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure.
So we decided to wear ours today as a reminder that women are not responsible for men's actions.
Good. Exactly.
There you go.
By Friday, the Observer had another piece, this one from the editors in response to the furor.
The furor.
Furor. Saying, having received over 35 letters to the Observer, which is a lot of people don't write letters anymore.
That's right.
35 mm-hmm. feels like a lot. In addition to the countless verbal comments, tweets, memes, and conversations the leggings piece has sparked, meanwhile, those wider conversations continued over the weekend. Now, you may remember, this follows a 2017 United Airlines incident when two teenagers were past travelers, which is a category that includes relatives of airline employees, and they were prevented from flying because they were wearing leggings.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Just the pants, ma'am. Just the pants.
That's right.
Well, observers complained, social media got up in arms, and the makers of leggings had a field day. Puma, for example, jumped into the fray and burnished its image by offering 20% discount on leggings to anyone presenting a United ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I should fly more.
Yeah, right.
Or I should wear leggings. Yeah, I don't really know.
Both. Wear the leggings on the plane.
I really don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know that leggings are really my look.
Mm.
Well, they could be.
Well, evidently.
Think about it a minute.
They can be.
Yeah, you don't like it either.
Huh? It could be.
They could be. Yeah. They sure could be, and you're welcome. If I turn to leggings, all I have to say to the world is, you're welcome.
Yes, sir.
I find this whole thing ridiculous. But
bizarre.
I found here. So, there's Pepsi leggings there.
See,
and if that's not enough for you, there's Crystal Pepsi.
Oh,
leggings. You get both.
Now that's a
Joe would wear those.
Clear.
That's
Joe
a
would
look
wear
right
those.
There.
Clear. Those. Right, Joe.
Oh, is that what that is?
Crystal Pepsi was clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Oh, sad.
Nah, it didn't last long.
Apparently not.
So, I do want to say something that
yes,
is, if we're taking the sexual sex out of that story.
The sexual sex.
I said, did say something today, and I was like, really? And this may be unrelated. I know we, because people call it like the slopification of America, you know?
Okay, sure.
So,
I like it.
What do we think of that, though? Of like, so now you can, not telling women what to wear, but leggings and other things. Because my example is a guy I saw today was coming out of Taylor Place, which is the ASU housing for the students that live there, came out, backpack, shoes on, and he had like just a regular t-shirt on, and I looked, he was wearing pajama bottoms, like flannel pajama bottoms. And I was like, is this the guy version of like, now we can just roll out of bed and wear our leggings or whatever? Like, have we really like pajama, that's where we are now, is pajama bottoms. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if some of the leggings thing, this was obviously about telling women what to wear,
sure,
but is it
sure.
also just a decorum thing? Like, now we can just wear anything in public. We can just wear our pajamas.
I have to take a step out, even as the super big girl in the room, but I have to take a step out of it because I go to Jabs, and I'm in those, and that's what I work out in. And then, like, I'll go to the store.
Okay.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I'll go to Fry's.
I don't give a fuck what the people at Fry's think about me. I will wear
No, and I'm with you. But, like, I would not be like, hey... You know, because of course Aaron asked me to go to prom. I was asked to go to prom again this year.
Oh my god, how nice.
How cute.
I didn't know seniors had a prom.
And
we're the same age, I can say that.
Our age.
Our age.
It is senior prom.
No Legos, no camel shoes, no outlines of your dick.
It
in
is senior prom. Anyway, but I'm not going to like wear those there.
Right, you that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to dress it up. But if you think about the 80s and the stirrup pants.
Yeah, we did. I wore stirrup pants.
Did you wear stirrup pants?
Hell yes, from Benetton.
Oh, totally Benetton.
Fuck yes, I did.
But I hated stirrup pants.
Yeah.
Because they felt so funny in my shoes. I was like, awful. Oh my God, I can't. I can't. But yeah, I mean, like that was a big thing. I thought it was awful, but it was a big thing. And then like a long shirt, right? And that's what.
I saw a man last year at Total Wine when I was buying wine. Mm-hmm. And this was, I've never seen this before, in a bathrobe and slippers.
You don't that go to, man you is don't go to this,
they did not.
You don't go to this fries care. All
oh, no, I will never go there
man
again.
Man is living his place. Best life.
He is living, and he was. And you know what? He wasn't, like, embarrassed, right? Yeah. He was going in there, got his whiskey, and he didn't fucking care.
I have to say, I am part of the,
him, right? I'd be like, do you love
okay, Kat, what your thoughts?
I am part of the pajamas are pants.
Yes, okay.
Thoughts on this.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What do I care what the people at Fry's think of me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Honest to God. Okay. Like, I don't give a fuck about you people. You don't give a fuck about me.
No.
I'm here to buy my Oreos.
There you go. Don't pass
So that's judgment. Fry's. But, like, would you wear that to a funeral?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you
well,
would.
Because who's going to comment? I mean, if the only person you're there
especially
for
if it's close
is...
family. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just wondering what we dress up for.
Right. Well. Anymore, what do we dress up for?
That.
Wow.
We need to talk later.
You know, depending on the funeral, who's going to say shit to me? Come at me.
There you go, right?
Come
right.
at me.
All right.
Fair point.
I get it.
My grandma, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even going to mention anybody because I don't want to wish anybody to die, but you come at me for a close family funeral, I'm going to wear whatever the fuck I want. Come at me.
Fair point.
This isn't clothing. However, I wondered about this. A couple of years ago, my mom's older sister passed away. We flew back to Missouri for the funeral. We are in a tiny, little, bitty, close-minded town north of our hometown for the funeral in this tiny little church. My aunt's name was Caroline. They played Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
And there was a whole room of people who'd known her entire life. So then in the pew where we were sitting was myself and my mom. And her sister, I forget who all was sitting right with us, but you get to that point in the song and you're like, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? We're going to do it? And we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. And the whole place started laughing. And I thought, fuck them. Yeah. It's our aunt. It was her sister. We're going to enjoy this.
Oh, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Not the same as the clothes you wear, but I agree with what you're saying.
It's a good thing it wasn't Jimmy Buffett, though, right? Well, where's the salt? Where's the goddamn salt?
Well,
I mean, so.
It's a good thing I wasn't there. I have a whole different tagline this week.
Her funeral could have been sponsored by Miller Lite. I can tell you that much.
Probably wouldn't have gone over.
Probably not as good, yeah. No. Probably not as good.
Sweet.
What's wrong with people?
What a slut.
Oh my God. Wow.
That's what I said. That wouldn't have gone over as
Joe,
well.
Joe, you know what I'm talking about.
It's different.
At ASU.
Different.
So.
Where are we?
Pajamas and pants.
So I am going to go in a different. Well, no.
Your pajamas on?
No. They're. I can save that other thing for some other time. Because this dumbass, I just can't even. Mike Lee. Let's just discuss what fucking moron. Oh, no. If
Is
you
that
have
Bruce's
that picture.
Little brother?
I have all those pictures.
That was just kind of like a thoughtful thing because of Pride this weekend.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I just sent it without anything. I'm sorry. So Republican Senator Mike Lee.
Okay.
A.K.A. douchebag, dumbass, all kinds of the things. Keep going. Delivered a speech about the Green New Deal, which communicates a great deal of information about the state of thinking in the Republican Party. The primary theme of Lee's speech is that the Green New Deal is not a serious idea. I have at least some sympathy with his critique, it says, having written two columns lambasting its unrealistic targets. So however the writer believes in this, it doesn't matter because what this dumbass said. Lack of specificity, on mechanisms for reducing carbon emissions and illusion of ancillary policy commitments. Lee's criticism, though, is different. The Utah senator mocks the Green New Deal with an illustration of former President Ronald Reagan firing a machine gun while riding on the back of a dinosaur. To make the point that, quote, this image is as much to do with overcoming Soviet communism in the 20th century as the Green New Deal has to do with overcoming climate change in the 21st. He asserts the Green New Deal calls for the elimination of all airplanes. It doesn't. And proceeds to argue that in the absence of airplanes, travel would be conducted by, and I'm hoping I'm not pronouncing this incorrectly, it's from The Empire Strikes Back. Tauntauns?
Tauntauns.
Mm, yeah.
I didn't realize that that's what they were called. Tauntauns. Anyway, while this portion of the speech is extremely stupid and dishonest, it's worth noting that it is not the stupidest part of the speech. The stupidest part, in fact, comes at the end. Lee pivots from mocking the Green New Deal to insisting he does not take climate change seriously, and he has a plan, a serious one, unlike the frivolous Green New Deal. His plan is for people to, are you waiting? Are you ready for it? Have more babies. That's right.
Good sure. Plan.
Climate change is an engineering problem.
Can't get on that.
Not social engineering, but the real kind. You know, it's a challenge of creativity, ingenuity, and technological innovation. Invention or that. I had the wrong word. And problems of human imagination are not solved by more laws, people, but by what? More humans.
More humans. More babies.
Yeah, we've done so well. So
we need more people.
That's exactly right. The solution to climate change, Mike Lee goes on to say, is not this unserious resolution. Unserious resolution. But the serious business of human flourishing. That's what they're calling breeding these days, I have a feeling. The solution to so many of our problems at all times and in all places. Fall in love. Get married.
Sure.
And have some kids.
What am I supposed to do about that?
As support for... Well, you're gay. You don't count.
Oh, okay.
As support for this bizarre proposition, Lee cites a column by Tyler Cohen. Cohen's column does not, in fact, argue that procreation is the solution to climate change. It simply argues against the idea that climate change means we should not have children, on the grounds that more children in the United States will, in addition to consuming more energy, supply more ideas to innovate. Now, you've heard of people that are choosing not to have children, correct? Because of climate change and whatnot. So that is supposedly what that is about, but not this. Whatever the merits of his argument, it certainly does not support Lee's idea that having more babies will, by itself, serve as a sufficient response to climate change. I mean, what a dumbass. For all the Green New Deal shortcomings, according to this writer, it is at least describing kinds of policy changes that would have an impact on climate change. Lee's position is literally that all new laws are bad. People and companies should just continue dumping carbon into the atmosphere for free forever. And the only appropriate response is speeches urging them to have more babies. Mm-hmm. So, get on that, people.
Yes.
Get on each other.
Yeah. Okay.
And have some children. Get climate change. Make climate change your bitch.
I'm gonna get on someone.
We're working on that all afternoon.
I'm gonna get on someone, but I don't think any baby's gonna happen when I do.
Get on each other.
Get on each other and fix climate change. Make climate change go away.
Wow.
That's right.
Oh my god.
Just wow. Mount. I have a
mount up.
Mount up. Mounting proposition.
How many puns do you have for this?
Oh my god, so many. I can't. I have to go through them. I will write them all down for you.
Will you?
I will.
All right.
I will have them for you next week. All of them. Because for real, what a fucking moron.
Just a fucking
have more
asshole.
Children.
Yeah.
And someone who in response, it's not in this article, but in response was like, so let me get this right. When climate change became a thing, was it the 50s, mm-hmm. something right around there, 50s, 60s? When that became a thing, since then, there have been more babies made. And then some
more. Yeah.
And then even more.
Yeah.
Somehow, I feel... Nope. not working. Mm-hmm. Not working. Not
no.
Not even kind of. So unless somebody can come back, Mike Lee is just a dumbass.
Really stupid.
I know. But make more babies, people.
Mm-hmm.
Mount up.
Nope.
Wow.
We're doing our part by not.
Yeah, we totally are. Good on the gays that are choosing not to.
Yes.
I mean, because some are choosing to, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Good
no, you're right. But it really did screw up everything. I agree with Al. Mm-hmm. This was a master plan of no marriage and no fucking kids. And now, oh, God, we can get married and you can adopt children. And I'm like...
What? Yeah, but you always could. Not legally, but you always could.
No, right. But that's the whole thing. That would be out.
No, Al was just inconvenienced by the fact he was like, I don't want to have that conversation on a date.
You could be, you know, dating somebody for a long time. Sorry, we get married. Oh, fuck.
I think that occurs in straight people.
You know,
one wants kids and the other doesn't want
it. Why do we want their problem?
Exactly.
No, but the straight people go into it knowing that that's already an option. Like,
it's a mounting problem.
Previously,
not
it was
even
not
an option, it's an expectation.
Expectation.
Sure.
It wasn't for us, and now it's like, oh, fuck.
I know. I hear you. So just be clear from the outside.
Yeah.
No kids in your future.
None. Zero. Except if you want to fix climate change.
Yeah, see, that's where you're letting people down.
You just let me down, even just bringing that up. I'm so disappointed.
So the gays are responsible for
the
climate change.
The gays are responsible for
that's
everything.
Right. That's right.
I mean, if there's a hurricane.
Way to go, gays.
Climate change.
My story also has gays ruining things.
Oh, I love it. Yay for the gays.
Bring it, Doug.
So some liberals are why we can't have nice things.
Oh, well. That's a lot
Peter
of that.
Savannah Buttigieg.
This is a Buttigieg story. This is from Salon. I'm sorry. It's a report about something that happened on Salon. The insanity of Democrats attacking Buttigieg for not being gay enough. My community has never had a presidential candidate taken seriously, and it's not something I imagined happening in my lifetime. After weeks of glowing press coverage of Pete Buttigieg as his shot up in the Democratic 2020 field, the Pete's Not Perfect posse has kicked into high gear with an unusually personal criticism. Buttigieg, they say, isn't gay enough. Is Pete Buttigieg just another white male candidate, or does his gayness count as diversity? It does. Slate asked in the headline that has since changed of a much discussed piece this week by staff writer Christina Cotarucci. The fact that the press and political class are even taking Buttigieg's candidate seriously is a historic first. An openly gay character, gay candidate has never qualified for a presidential debate, let alone become president. The jury's still out on James Buchanan, but whatever his orientation, he wasn't leading any pride parades in 1857. Yet some liberal voices, are now discounting Buttigieg's sexual orientation, saying still a white man, or at least diminishing the historic discrimination gays have faced as compared with women and people of color. Most of the time, gender and race are way heavier burdens than sexual orientation. This is according to Slot, in the professional and political environment. And there was a time when it was illegal for us to marry interracially. Women and people of color could not even own property, but a gay white man could. For those critics, his race and gender negate the little credit they accord him for being gay. All of this seems like an attempt to write Buttigieg off as just another white guy, standing in the way of more diverse candidates. That part just gives me a headache. This is my favorite phrase in the whole thing. It's the oppression Olympics at its worst. In a battle to prove one community is more discriminated against than another, we tear each other apart rather than unite in common cause. The arguments against Buttigieg fall roughly into four categories. The first is that he acts too straight to have any gay cred. Cotarucci claimed that since Buttigieg appears straight, he registers on my gaydar. You need to see the parentheses here. Opinion writers saying he registers on my gaydar just fine. He must not have suffered the same discrimination that more obviously gay or trans people or people of color face on a daily basis.
Bitch! bitch, please.
I know. This bitch is not. I mean, this bitch is really fucking things up. A gay man who conforms to a critical mass. This is what she said in Salon. A gay man who conforms to a critical mass of gendered expectations can move through life without his sexuality attending every interaction, even after he comes out. Buttigieg, for instance, would register on only the most finely tuned gaydar. She's making a lot of judgments there. He might not be up against quite the same hurdles that a gay candidate without such sturdy ties to straight culture would be. Okay, my editorial. We've seriously lost our way here. Mm-hmm. I was raised in an upper middle class family in the Chicago suburbs. No one knew I was gay. I was lonely and spent every waking moment afraid someone would uncover my secret. My teen mind was sure I would end my life before I hit 30 because everyone would figure out that I was gay. And I'd lose my family and my job. Fortunately, that was wrong, but growing up LGBT wasn't easy. Beyond the question of whether Buttigieg presents as gay enough, whatever that means, is the ugly notion that gays haven't faced the same level of historic discrimination as others. And I love that he ends it with this. We were targeted in the Holocaust, subjected to ice pick lobotomy cures in the 1950s, fall victim to horrific hate crimes, and only recently won the right to marry or adopt. We've suffered enough to earn our seat at the table. Mm. I couldn't agree more, especially the Holocaust part, which I teach my students about, which many people don't know because the Nazis ranked everything. Like they ranked. You didn't count. That's not gay.
Oh, no.
Didn't even know what they were like. That doesn't count.
No.
Guess what was at the lowest? You know, there was the Poles and then the Jew, black, everything. The very lowest of the low.
Gay men?
Just gay.
Pink triangle
was the lowest on the ranking thing. Well, granted, they didn't kill 6 million of us, but in their opinion, we were the lowest. And I want people to know that. So anyway, this is what happens when white people at Salon or whoever's there. I think she was white and maybe she's lesbian. I don't know. That just really irritates the shit out of me. We can't there's a whole spectrum of all of that, so he's just fine. He can run for office, and
he is just smart as hell.
Oh my god!
Did you see him
on Bill Maher?
I haven't seen him yet on Bill Maher. No, we have a DVR.
It's 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Just watch it. It's so good. I would vote for him in a second.
If I can throw this in there as a quick side note to you guys say it again because I say Buttigieg.
It's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Boot.
Edge. Yep.
He on Twitter.
Yes, and not single people are discriminated in many ways, including home ownership and taxes.
Yes.
I get fucked over by that
That's okay.
Because America is designed for you to be white, straight, buy a house and have kids. You get tax breaks for all of that, and I don't. And I'm always irritated about that.
Always.
Okay. Sorry, Marnie.
That's okay. It's about Twitter celebrity because it goes back to the whole tweeting thing. And usually this is not stuff I jump on, but I absolutely fucking love this. So to lighten up that point about Buttigieg, if I said it right. There was a scream of bloody murder, just bloody murder. Mayor Pete's husband, Chasen.
Who I haven't even seen yet.
Yep. Chasen, Buttigieg, is a rare thing. A Twitter celebrity who deserves his fame. So it was a beautiful thing to see that Lin-Manuel Miranda, an equally deserving Twitter celebrity, follow Buttigieg on Twitter. But it wasn't just that Miranda followed Chasen. It was how Chasen responded that brought joy to the internet. Doing a quick bit of laundry, Pete Buttigieg says, hear a loud scream, run into the kitchen terrified, expecting to see his husband in a pool of blood.
Right.
And thereupon informed that at Lin-Manuel Miranda is following my husband, whose life is now complete.
Okay. This is the perfect segue into humor that I needed, that these stories mesh together. That's fantastic.
It is. It's just fun. I laughed so hard. I thought you would think that Chasen Buttigieg's husband becoming president would be his life goal. But I get it. Lin-Manuel is nearly a perfect human. Isn't that fun? Anyway,
that is fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. The end.
Okay.
Sorry, Clayton.
That's all I got. I thought you'd have a bigger reaction to that story.
There's kind of It's kind of a food chain of discrimination.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so straight white men are at the currently at the top of that food chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight white women. And then gay white men, honestly.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know. I know that.
Number three. So I kind of see, like, I don't get the he's not gay enough. I mean, he's kind of bland. You know what I mean? He's not.
Yeah. It's all. Just, I get what you're saying about the food chain.
Yeah.
But I totally agree because I've had discussions about this. Like, I know what white male privilege is because I get a lot of benefits from it. And then in the next breath, I also know what it's like to be hate crimed, discriminated against, so and bullied in high school. You know, the whole thing.
Right.
So you walk that fine line.
That those aren't things, but there's a
I agree with you on the hierarchy. Oh. I think not gay enough is also a form of discrimination. She's openly discriminating against him and can't even see that. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's a different kind of gay. So what's the problem with that? Right. What is so he's not a 24-hour pride parade, so which I don't like.
So RuPaul's not running for the presidency.
Exactly.
So is that what they're expecting?
No, that's a great point, Clint. She is saying, that's the point she is making. If RuPaul runs, then that's how we should pick a presidential candidate.
That's the gay.
And
that's
fucked up.
Well, and he's not gay enough because of the reaction with Chick-fil-A. And he's not gay enough because, like...
Well, he's just not gay enough.
There are people
because he's not with a feather boa, you know, dancing, you know, at a circuit party. That's who they want, right? But he's white. And also, since when did that become that's okay? Because he...
No.
In the realm of picking a president anyway, why does it have to be identity politics?
Because it is. Because you're looking for someone that you think understands you. You know what I mean? Like, of course, it's identity politics. I'm looking for someone
I think he would understand.
So
if you're saying that he can't understand Stacey Abrams being discriminated against, I would disagree. He understands being discriminated against for something you have no control over, and so does Stacey Abrams. So let's have a kumbaya around that instead of like, no, we need a black woman or we need this, and he's not gay enough. How about ask the question: have you ever been marginalized in your life? Yes. Mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams, have you been marginalized? Yes. Great, you can both be the president. Oh, but Stacey's more because she's a black and a woman. So, no, I don't. That
yeah, but I
doesn't
think she has
well
a vastly different perspective on life than.
Mm-hmm. And so does he. And so does he. Which doesn't disqualify him as a
contest.
President. Yeah.
It just becomes too much of a pissing contest.
Right.
Because you have stupid Don Jr. who goes to the.
Thank you. And I want to bring that into
AOC
it.
AOC sucks.
So, part
kind
B
of thing?
To this thing that I want of this story is that. This is why Donald Trump will absolutely be reelected because Democrats can't stop fucking doing this.
Right,
so
right.
Already that's already been decided. Now Trump because this kind of fucked up
hurts.
Shit, you know, they won't even have to do anything. They'll just watch it disintegrate. Yeah, and it won't.
Just,
and by the way, if he's not, who's next? This
but
is
they
that's
have
coming.
This AOC
then they'll
sucks
find a way why
thing?
Stacey Abrams isn't black and gay enough or whatever her
first
story is.
First of all, I don't
is,
think she's
right?
running. Second of all,
no, not yet.
Can we all
but
at least
but
agree?
But if she did, they would find a way to disqualify maybe. Her.
Can we all at least agree that Beto needes to go away? Otherwise,
yes.
that's
yeah.
the primary
yes.
example of a white man failing
yes.
up.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. That,
well,
that I'm happy. Fine.
Yeah.
Beto, I think
I'm getting, I've
I
only donated
the,
money to
I
one
think
candidate.
Aside from Buttigieg,
that's who I'm
going
to give it to.
The bees need to go away.
Yeah, Bernie too. Bernie needs
Bernie,
to go.
Biden.
The bees.
Beto.
Yeah, Biden's on his way out. Poor Biden. Yeah.
Well,
I know.
I mean, but those.
Did you see?
Bye-bye. It needs to be bye-bye,
those
bees.
This even happened on MSNBC, and they were like, well, you didn't see him grabbing any men that way. And that's the smugness thing. And then 10 minutes later, people posted all over the internet of him hugging every man in the world.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
I love
Uncle
that.
Joe just needs to keep his damn hands to himself.
Right.
God damn it.
You know,
Joe.
And the thing, when we're looking at who to elect or when we're having this conversation about who has the most to offer, then you have Donnie Jr. standing in front of a crowd. Putting AOC down.
With that awful beard.
Mm. With that awful
just
beard.
Such a
oh my God.
Beard.
He really
not
is.
Good.
That
he's
is
so
horrible.
Fucking smarmy.
Get a trimmer.
Yeah.
But he.
And smirking his way through that while they were screaming.
He's
what
awful.
Did they scream?
AOC
sucks. Yeah.
But he was like, she wasn't even. She didn't have anything to do with the political or anything until da da da.
Neither
she's
did
not,
he.
Right? Well, let me think.
Neither did
I
he.
I feel like AOC has a whole lot more on the ball mm-hmm. and can have political discussions.
And has a degree from Brown where she studied international economics. Right. So
we're gonna
sorry.
Get rid of sanctions against North Korea. Well, there weren't any, sir. But good for you. Good for you. Thanks. Real good. But it's that kind of
so
thing.
Gross.
You know? And
I know.
Just across the board, truly, to go with what that McAllister called The View, mm-hmm. I mean, he is a mental midget.
Yeah.
Like, just, it's all good.
Just horrifying.
Yeah, it's awful.
I know.
Anyway, digress. AOC does not suck. The end.
Good.
Well, speaking of things that suck, this guy in Florida, a Florida man, didn't really care for his job at Hardee's. So he, Hardee's, which is a
love Hardee's.
Fast food restaurant.
God. Why don't we have those here?
So he called 911 and reported that he'd just been robbed. TV reports say that 32-year-old Brian Anderson of Dundee, Florida, told dispatchers Tuesday that two gun-carrying men took his necklace, money, and his phone before jumping into a car and driving away. Polk County Sheriff's deputies went to the scene and quickly realized he was lying. In a Facebook post, the agency said Anderson confessed, adding, quote, "On the bright side, I didn't have to go to work this morning at the restaurant." Anderson is now charged with misusing the 911 system and knowingly giving false information to law enforcement. All right, in our last headline story before we move on to whatever else we're going to do for the last little bit of this show, up in Minnesota, Sheriff's office encountered a couple of true road hogs earlier this week.
Oh, yeah.
A driver who was pulled over for having trouble staying in his lane turned out to be operating the vehicle with a 250-pound pig on his lap.
Cheryl, get off my lap. Cheryl!
So
poor man's wife.
This according to Jason Foster, who was a sergeant in the police department. Here is a picture of the pig on the lap of the driver of the vehicle. God. He also had a smaller pig with him.
Oh.
That's a chillin'.
It's quite the hog, sir.
Now, this says that the smaller pig can be seen in the photo posted to social media, but I don't see it. The smaller pig appears to be standing next to the driver's seat behind the larger pig's leg. But I'm not sure if...
That there's the cheering.
Is that the pig? Is there a little pig? Little pig?
Oh,
there?
Wait. Hang on. There we go. There's a little pig.
Little pig. Here, little piggy.
Little pig. Little pig.
Wee, wee, wee. All the way home. Wee, wee, wee. All the way home. Oh, I see the eye. You see the eye? Yeah, see it's the right eye. Under. Mm-hmm. It's right underneath.
You know, going to market, but you got slaughtered and sold.
Look at that. Huh.
It wasn't a fun day shopping.
No, not
this little piggy went to the market.
That's right.
Got slaughtered and sold. It wasn't a fun shopping trip.
Not at all.
Oh, that really changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
I always wanted to be the piggy that went to market. But I wasn't.
Like I said, both pigs can be seen in the social media post. The smaller pig appears to be standing next to the driver's seat behind the pig's leg. In the post, Sheriff's Office noted that its officers have encountered plenty of drivers distracted by things like cell phones, food, or changing a radio station, but catching someone with a pig on their lap was indeed a first for them. The man's erratic driving was apparently caused by the larger pig leaning against the steering wheel. Foster told the TV station that the man had his pigs on his lap because he was moving to another part of the state and didn't want the pigs to be cold during the journey. The sergeant let the driver off with a warning. Now, when traveling by car with pets, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals generally recommends transporting them in a secure, well-ventilated crate or carriers inside the vehicle.
We're talking about pigs. We're talking about two of two pigs here.
Tale of two swine. Oh, you swine.
Cheryl, get off my lap. Cheryl, get in the back seat.
Sharon Jean. There's Sharon Jean.
Oh,
you know exactly. You know exactly, Marnie. Sharon, she's a big woman. Her pager blowed up, burned her on the butt. Looks like Woody Woodpecker. I know you love that, Marnie. I know you love that. She's out there riding her bike, out there delivering a Grit magazine. Her pager went off and blowed up on her butt. I know.
Sounds like some blue collar comedy tour to me.
That's one of the funniest. Oh,
We got her some medical bills. We had some salve. She's a big woman. We had to buy a lot of salve. Name is Shern Jean. Traditional spelling. Shern.
Shern.
Shern Jean. I love that I just get money with that. And she just knows exactly what I'm doing, and nobody else does. That's fantastic.
That's one of the funniest fucking things.
It really, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It really was funny.
Yeah, but it's about you doing it. I don't. That's funny, but you, when you do that, it makes me laugh. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh my God, good times though. Really. Oh, inside joke. Terribly sorry. Let's see. We want this, that, crossover, that. Yeah. I'll fix the rest of it in a bit. Doug, we're going to let you figure out what... Whoa, don't want that. We're going to let you figure out what you're going to do here. With, What are you doing in entertainment, Doug?
Entertainment. Well, we can talk about Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Going away, but also winning awards in the Canada award thing.
Yeah. We could do that.
We could talk about... the play that goes wrong now that Kat Carlson is here.
We could also do that.
And I don't know.
We can talk about Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
All right.
We didn't have a ton of time.
All right. Well, you almost filled the full 30 seconds of that stinger.
Do they call them the Canademies?
Oh. There is an Academy Award story, too.
We'll be back in just a minute. Stay around. Really?
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.